Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Tuesday morning. What an eventful Monday it was in Padre land. And, we should be used to it at this point. The offseason typically is pretty wild. Spent my day yesterday on the phone with a lot of people trying to, get a little bit more info about everything that went down at Petco Park with Mike Schilt retiring. We got some updates on it. Got a new piece by Dennis Lynn that I think is really, really interesting. I actually texted with Mike Schilt last night. Can fill you in on the details of that convo. But I feel like I did my due diligence yesterday as a, member of Ben and Woods and somebody that knows Schulte a little bit. We'll talk about all of it today. Good morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I like that. Your regular MLB insider, Stephen Woods, doing his due diligence behind the scenes, texting his sources.
Yeah, tons, actually.
Getting it all done. I love that.
I talked to a bunch of people via text and phone. Well, it got, because people kept calling me. like our buddy mailman Jack calls me, and he's like, give me the real story. And I'm like, I don't know the real story. And I said, I've got some texts out. I've got some, talked to one person yesterday. And, man, I'm telling you, like, it just got, like you hear with every story, you get a million different points of view early, and then it kind of starts to drill down, and then you hear from the source himself, and you go, okay. Starting to come into light again. And I'll tell you guys what I know later in the show. This is for stretching out and getting loose a little bit. But it was kind of a minorly hectic day. Like, it was a lot of phone calls, which I know drives my wife nuts. When I'm home and she's home and the kids are home, she does not like me walking around on the phone. I can't sit still. I can't sit in an office and shut the door. I have to move. So I'm outside. I'm inside. I'm back in the kitchen. I'm back in our bedroom. And I'm just pacing. And I'm talking to a dozen different people. And it makes her insane. And I know it does. And I apologize.
I don't know how Jeff Passan and Adam Schefter do it. Like, the constant... Like, you were doing that about one story. They are doing it about 100 stories, yeah, all at once with contacts throughout an entire league, like 30 teams. They have to do that all the time for 30 to 32 teams, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
I bet the San Diego Padres take up 17 to 18% of their time, like it takes up 95% of our time, And those guys, I don't know how they do it. I really, really don't know how they do it. The other thing I was doing, too, I had other dials that I had to make yesterday. This is the worst week of the year for me, and it's baseball related. So I'm playing in a tournament next week out in Arizona. I'm taking my old team, the San Diego A's, out to Arizona. Played in it when we very first started the show a couple of times. It was a tradition every year. And I got 22 guys on the roster right now. They switched the schedule up on me yesterday. Our first game is at 8 p.m. at night. I'm dead asleep at 8 p.m. at night. So I don't even know what I'm going to do, okay? It's 8 p.m. So I'm taking the crew out there. Here's the other thing. You got 22 guys, and everyone's committed, right? Oh, yeah, I'm in. This is 22 has been whittled down from about 40 that were committed, and people, oh, bro, it's my mother-in-law, something's going on, I got to fly out here. Okay, no problem. Oh, dude, I totally forgot. It's this birthday thing. Okay, no problem. Dude, I'm just not going to be able to make it. Okay, no problem. And you get it whittled down, and you think you got your final 22, and yesterday you send out the final email of, here's your waiver. I honest to God, I had to put in it, look, because these are adult men. I had to put in it. It's going to be cold at the night games. Make sure you bring something warm. Don't forget your belt. Bring your spikes. Make sure you also bring plastics. Don't forget your catcher's gear.
Bring your sippy.
Sippy cup, because this has happened before. The first tournament I ever played in, my catcher showed up. He's like, hey, man. And we're 10 minutes to game time. 10 minutes. He goes, I forgot my catcher's gear. My only catcher. And I go, what do you mean you forgot your catcher's gear? I left it in my my garage in L.A.
Oh, my God.
And I go, excuse me, I've never managed a tournament before. There's a million people around. It's such like good competition. And I go, are you out of your mind? How do you forget your catcher's gear if you're a catcher? And I had to walk up to some old man who just finished his game. He's taking his gear off. I go, I'll give you $50 to rent your gear for this game. He's like, done. And then he's like, just leave it here. When you're done, I'll come back and get it. Benny, in this thing, I'm like, here's the other rule. If you're not at the field 30 minutes before the game, you will not play. We do not do show and go out of the car, putting your belt on. I go, 30 minutes, I have to make a lineup. You will not play. This is where our address is. Here's where you need to go. I'm literally just holding these guys' wieners and dragging them.
Are you sure you shouldn't have been a third grade teacher? That sounds like third grade teacher behavior, but for adults.
But for adults. And the other part is this. So you send that email out, right? You go like this. You hit submit. And then you walk away from the computer, and you slowly come back to look and see if anyone's like, oh, dude. Anytime my phone buzzes, I go, oh, God, he's bailing. Like one of my best players, I texted him yesterday. And I'm like, hey, man, can't wait to see you on Tuesday. Nothing back. Nothing back yet. So I'm like, you guys are going to wait till the last minute. We're going to end up out there with 13 guys.
All you need is nine, right? You got nine, you're good.
But in a potential 7-8 games, 9 ain't going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. So this is the worst week of all time. Like checking those emails, constantly going, oh, God, who's gonna bail? It just makes me sick every year. Every year.
Do you remember, I'm thinking about you, getting them to sign their waivers and return them.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember, I don't know if this happened to you when you were in elementary school, but when the teacher would safety pin like a paper to,
yes,
your shirt to take home, mm-hmm, to make sure your parents saw it?
Never had that. But
that never happened to you? Because I remember it happening at least a couple of times to me. It was not an uncommon practice when I was at least in school.
Was the thought the kids don't know how to undo the safety pin?
I think it was simply, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It was just,
I know, as soon as I leave that classroom, I'm just ripping it off.
No,
yeah,
but
you're running around with this piece of paper dangling.
It wasn't like a punishment or like, it wasn't a bad thing. It was simply like, we need you to sign this permission slip,
okay,
and they didn't want you to forget. Like, don't put it in your backpack, don't put it in a folder, and then forget to tell your parents. So this was, they'd safety pin it to your shirt. But
I automatically assumed it was like a punishment.
No. It was more just, this is a way that we know the parents will see it, because if it's on their kid's shirt when they get home from school, it'll be there. But I remember feeling, it's very humiliating to have something pinned to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like scarlet letter,
but
basically.
But now you know why, because like, we all still forget our entire, all the little details and minutiae of life.
I can't tell you, dude, how I can't tell you how stressful it is. It's massively stressful. It's massively, massively stressful. And then if, again, like I can, like I always tell my kids, this is a standard lesson at home. If something happens, don't be afraid to tell me now. I can handle it now in the moment. If you wait 6, 8, 10, 12 hours and then come to me and whatever the case may be, tell me now, so I can deal with it now. You're going to be in a little trouble. But if I find out 12 hours later, like if you're going to bail so that I can replace you. This isn't hard. We're not married. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to come to your house and beat you to death.
The cover-up's way worse than the crime.
Don't get to Monday when I'm like packing my car and you're my star shortstop and you're like, hey, bro, I can't make it. Tell me now so I can find a replacement level shortstop. And it's stupid, but I'm thinking about this yesterday, Ben, as I'm trying to put a team of 22 people together and get them dialed in. And I kept thinking about AJ Preller. And I kept thinking about his staff. And I kept thinking about the hour and a half of work I put in to build the team. Just an hour, hour and a half to like get the emails and here's the fields and bring your plastics and bring a belt. And I kept thinking about, now imagine doing it with how many players make up an organization?
Well over 100.
Well over 100. Easily over 100. Between all levels?
All the players? Levels, yeah. Players. Probably 150 or so.
Right.
Yeah.
Managing them, managing their coaches, overseeing all of it.
I was going to say like 200.
Maybe 200. Maybe 200. Include like the new rookies, the Dominican League guys and everything.
Arizona extended spring.
Yeah, probably over 200 actually.
And you sit there and you go, you oversee all of it, which you have, you delegate a lot of stuff, certainly.
Hiring professionals, hopefully, to handle some of these things.
But still. It's, we need a shortstop. We need an outfielder. We are down three outfielders. We're down four pitchers. And the thought of it, man, made me just, I was like, I don't know how these guys do this job on a daily basis. It is just insane.
Elisa says, Woods is essentially dating 20-plus men at once.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And I'll tell you, I was talking to one of our buddies, and I go,
you up for baseball?
Yeah, hey, what's up? Are you up? Are you in? You out? I told my buddy, our buddy Bruffy that we play with, I said, I will not rest until Wednesday night when everyone shows up to the field. Until the box of jerseys is empty, I will not rest. I won't be able to chill and relax because I can't even impart to you.
But then once you get there,
it'll be great.
Well, yes, but then you have to worry about what they're doing late at night. Will they get up in the morning? Will
interesting they be point.
Ready to play the next game.
So a couple years back, we go out to Arizona. And one of the guys did the thing where he's like, hey, my buddy's also a pitcher. You want me to bring him? And I'm like, 100%. Can never have too many arms. Buddy met a girl one night, started doing crystal meth, never saw him again. Disappeared. Oh, wow. And my other...
That's not where I thought that was going.
The guy that brought him was like, he met some girl and they were like doing meth and he's in a room right now. And
oh
I was
my
like,
God.
I go, he goes, he got jumped too. He's all beat up. I was like, all right, well, we got a game to win. Check on him.
Cross him off then.
Cross him off. So you're telling me he's not starting today?
Apparently,
he's not going to be. He's not on the bump. So now I got to find a new pitcher. On my life, he met a girl. He got jumped. He got jumped first. Met a girl. They did crystal meth, and I never saw the dude again. Didn't show up to any other games. He was in some hotel room or something. So. These are the things you deal with when you're out there. I mean, it is like the craziest, craziest thing of all time. So I'm trying to be calm through it all, but that, I spent my day working on the Mike Schultz story and working on that this team. And it's such a labor of love. It really is such a labor of love. Because once you get out there and you get to playing with the boys again, facing some really good competition on the big league fields, I mean, it just doesn't get any better. That's why a golf trip is so easy. Yeah, I got four guys. We're going to go. We're going to meet out. We're all going to stay in this Airbnb. We all have our own room.
No one ever forgets to bring their golf clubs.
No, you never forget your golf clubs. Never.
No one ever forgets their golf clubs.
Never, ever, ever.
Every once in a while, they lose them like the airplane doesn't have them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one just said, oh, I forgot to pack my golf clubs on my golf trip.
It's logistics for me. It's weird because I won't let anybody else do it, but I really hate doing it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want anybody else to organize and run this tournament because I don't think anybody can do it as well as I can. But I absolutely loathe most of the doing it.
You'd be more stressed by wondering if things are getting done if someone else was in charge.
It's exactly right.
Like, yeah, I know that feeling.
You know that feeling? So, like, Paulie would actually be really good at the logistics. He knows how to make spreadsheets. He, like, I should have had him as my assistant manager.
This is like having teenage children.
Yes.
And you want to delegate responsibility to them around the house, but you also want it to get done. And the instinct is always, I'm just going to do it myself because I just want to get it done. I don't want to wait on them. I don't want to wait on them to do it. I just want it done. I want it done right the way I like it done.
So you end up doing 99% of
stuff. So I end up doing it because I want to make sure it's done right.
But then do you yell at them for not doing it?
No, because I jump in and just do it before I even give them a chance.
And they know that, dude.
I'm getting better, though.
I'm terrible at delegating. I've always been bad at it.
Yeah.
Like, I just would rather do it myself.
I'm okay at, like, saying, hey, can we get this clip posted? But I'm not good about, like, I'm not good about saying, hey, it's in your hands. Hey, you deal with the travel. You deal with the fees. Right. You deal with the uniforms. And I'll make out the game day lineups. No, it doesn't work that way with me. So it's hard, man. It's hard. But I'm so looking forward to it. It's something we haven't done in many years. Bo was a baby when we won our last championship. And I don't know, like, is it goofy? Yeah, it's goofy as hell. I saw myself. This is funny. So the other day I'm going to play baseball on Tuesday night, last Tuesday night for the Tier 1s. And I pull up to a gas station and I walk inside. And I realized I usually wear shorts and like an undershirt and like slides or whatever. And then I kind of change at the field. Well, I went full uni as I drove the game because it was cold. I was putting like all the layers on. So I walk into 7-Eleven to get like a Gatorade, and I notice the reflection of myself in the window in full uniform at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday night as a 50-year-old man. And I go, oh, no. Oh, no. Come on, Peter Pan. I was like, what are you doing, dude? I was like, guys were like, open the door, like, yeah, come on in, bud. Like,
Halloween's in 3 weeks, pal.
Boy, I was so embarrassed, dude. I looked at myself in this reflection, and I go, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And then I went and played, and I was like, "That's why I do it because I had the time of my life."
I think the irony is always though that dressing in a baseball uniform out in the wild is something that an actual baseball player would never ever do. You'd never be.
Hey,
walking,
look at this guy.
You'd never be walking around Jackson Merrill at 7-Eleven wearing his full Padres
full
uniform while he's there.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
I will never forget the silhouette of me staring there, going, "Come
in the
on,
glass
in the glass,
door.
Yes." Yeah. I was so mortified for a hot second.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, it's and many people said to me, I get DMs about it when I talk about it. They're like, "Hey, man, like coaching fills that void. It fills that void of playing, and it doesn't. It makes it worse. The fact that I'm coaching, you know, my kids and everything, it makes it worse. It makes it worse. Like, it's, I don't know that I'll ever be able to stop playing as long. I'd have to stop coaching too, because when I'm out there hitting grounders and we're working on this or that, I'm like, oh no, I got to be out here. I have to be out there with the boys. I need 4 hours a week to go out and play. So I'm excited, man. It's going to be fun. I'm sure we'll have some great stories from the road, certainly when we get back, but it's going to be epic.
Well, while you were having your busy day, both covering the San Diego Padres and managing your adult league team, I was simply being a talking head on television, anchoring last night on ABC 10. Went very smoothly. We had kind of a unusual schedule since Monday Night Football was on, just a quick show before, and then had a live 45-minute show right out of Monday Night Football, which tends to be one of our better-rated programs. You got a big audience for Monday Night Football. People are at the bars. It stays on Channel 10. So I tend to get a lot more comments when I'm on afterwards. And I got a few, actually, on Twitter. Hot anchor on 10 News right now. Looking cute on TV. And
whoa.
I don't know. I know. I don't know.
Are you joking?
I don't. Well, no. I just don't know if they're joking or not.
Let me
see.
Like
the one anchor on 10 News right now. You got that one, too. It included a Ron Burgundy meme as well.
Is
I don't know how to put
dude?
This, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Was it from a dude?
Looks like it might be. I can't tell from the picture.
I gotta see this.
Hot anchor on 10 News right now. Is it just ironic?
It's a dude.
That's definitely a dude. Yeah, All right. Well, that's still. I mean, it's a compliment, right?
Hot anchor. Well,
yeah.
And then there's one that says, "Good Lord, what a huge mistake."
Is that
about you?
I don't. I think that was about Mike McCoy.
Oh, Mike McCoy.
Okay. As the new coach of the Tennessee Titans.
All right. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Nice to get a compliment.
It is nice to get compliments, though. Yeah, but I mean, I just can't tell if they're making fun of me or they're actually genuine compliments
isn't that,
at this point.
Isn't that sad, the world that we live in right now?
I mean, I'm a 49-year-old dude in glasses reading the news on television.
You really can't
tell. I looked pretty sharp last night, I thought.
Yeah, you sent me a picture. We had a debate, another minor debate, yesterday on Twitter or on text. I went home to my wife and I go, did you hear the part of the show where Ben swears he's a 32 inseam? Like 32 length of his pants. She goes, I did. She goes,
thought about it all day long.
She's like, my friend Elise, who is really tall, she's a 31 and she's like 6 feet tall. I go, babe, he's 6'5". And then he goes, I've been wearing 32s forever. And then he sends me this picture. He goes, should they be longer than this? I go,
yes,
they should be longer than that.
But like the guys I work with nowadays, their pants only go down mid-calf.
Okay, I get it. I feel you're like, not Jake Garignani. You're not Julian Delgado.
I get it.
Okay?
But is there like a middle ground I should be at?
Yes, 34 at least.
That's not a I mean, that's like all the way down to the ground.
You're not going to be the guy that wears the stylish hat,
joggers.
I can't do it. Capri pants.
Fernando Tatis Jr. can wear a sport coat with no shirt on underneath.
Correct,
and it looks good.
He looks badass.
But like,
if we pull the same look, people will be like, "I just vomited in my mouth."
Yes,
is that true?
Yes, you have to get long pants.
I mean, I see so much socks from
these
guys
days,
now.
Our agents. Our agent, we go to lunch with our
sock
agent.
Sock game's big.
Sock game's big, but we go to a lunch with our agent, you know, every other year, every 3 years when he calls us to renegotiate our deal. Still pay him every month. But he'll sit down and he'll have those short pants on. They come up to about mid-calf and he crosses his legs and he's got $7,000 Italian shoes on with no socks. And I look at that and I go, it looks good on you. I can't do it. It's not for me. There's no way you're a 32.
Calves are my best feature, though. Shouldn't I be accentuating those with maybe slightly shorter pants?
But your shoes look like you're the guy that, like, when we were kids, you know, like, hey, where's the flood? I mean, there's so many mean insults, like high waters, they used to call them, because you've been walking around thinking you're a 32, but you're not. This guy's 5'11". He wears a 32.
You're at least a 34.
At least a 34.
Minimum.
And you could actually go 36 and then get him
hemmed,
which is always a nightmare.
It is.
I got to go hem some pants. There's so many things I would rather do than that. But
you don't do it yourself, do you?
No. God,
you don't know how to sew,
I
right?
I wouldn't have the foggiest idea. I'd cut them with scissors. I would like to get you some 34s and see if your life changes.
All right. Well, that's certainly an option.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of shorter guys. I mean, not short, but shorter than me, saying they're also 32s.
Yes. He said last night, I think I have low hips. I go, you don't have low hips.
I think I do.
You're just wearing the wrong size, bud.
Lower hips.
Your 6'5" frame would have to be literally all torso. Two short little stubby legs.
My legs are long.
They're long. They're long.
My hips are kind of low.
Let them flow. Let them flow. 34s, Paulie. We got to get. I just want to see him in some. You don't even have to buy them. I just want to see you in them.
I have a couple, I think, that are longer that you've probably seen. They just feel very baggy. And
they're not. Like, they look good.
Too loose sometimes.
Yeah. Loose cannabis.
Loose cannabis. All right, let's take a timeout. First time out of the day. We'll come back and, we will explore what we have learned in the last 21 hours or so since Mike Shildt made his shocking announcement, revealing to the Union Tribune and then the Padres revealing to the world that he is retiring as manager of the San Diego Padres after just two seasons. That is coming up next. We'll set the menu for the program as well with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, yesterday I jumped the gun and didn't get a chance to talk about EcoWater, but today I actually nailed it. Very happy to always spread the good word about EcoWater, the best water that you and your family can get. We've got the EcoWater system at home, one of the smartest, most practical upgrades that I've ever made for my family. It will come with us wherever we go. We move to a new house, it comes with us. They got incredible technology, too. First with remote monitoring, the first with Wi-Fi and leak detection, the first with whole home automatic cutoffs that can stop a leak before it becomes a disaster. Okay, these things are great, right? You want all that technology, but what does it taste like? Well, it happens to be the best water, the healthiest water for you. Have them come out and do an in-home water test, see what you're currently showering in, see what you're currently drinking in, see what's currently flowing through your pipes. You know that green gunk that's built up around your shower head? That's from hard water. You will not have that anymore with the EcoWater system. So try the Soft Life and Alkaline Water now, just $9.95 a month. Call 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know your old pal Woodsy sent you down there. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quickly set the menu for the Tuesday edition of Ben and Woods, and I'm going to actually work backwards today because we are leading up to 10 o'clock at the end of our program today. We will carry live the news conference, the virtual news conference featuring Padres President of Baseball Operations and General Manager A.J. Preller discussing yesterday's unexpected news at 9 a.m. When we learned that Mike Schilt was stepping down as manager of the San Diego Padres for health and wellness reasons. At least that's what he told the San Diego Union-Tribune, and we'll talk about that coming up here in the next few minutes, what we've kind of learned over the last 24 hours, discuss the new piece by our friend Dennis Lynn that dropped this morning in The Athletic with even more insight onto the decision and why it was made and what is going to happen going forward. We will also, of course, talk about the baseball playoffs, another wild day.
Whoa!
In Major League Baseball, particularly in the Dodgers-Brewers Game 1 of the NLCS, which featured one of the most unusual plays I have ever seen in watching, a lifetime of baseball. A 404-foot ground into a double play, technically, by Max Muncy in the game last night. But, of course, because it's the Dodgers, it didn't come back to bite them in the end, as they don't pay attention, they don't run the base paths well, but still end up winning the game. Why, Woods? Because they have
the
more talent than everybody else, including Blake Snell and a bunch of MVPs, who in Blake Snell was unbelievable. So
we'll get into it.
He was unbelievable.
I'll say now, I'm not an idiot. Like I've said, I'm a hater, but I'm not an idiot. The guy was unbelievable last night. One of the best pitching performances I think I've ever seen in the playoffs.
We watched an entire Cy Young season of Blake Snell.
Nothing
that was
like
as
that.
Good as I have ever seen
ever.
Him.
Ever.
You'd see flashes of that.
Oh, yeah.
He put it together for
five
eight straight innings.
Yeah. And I mean, he put it out. I've said it before. The reason that they're infallible, they have too much talent that supersedes Dave Roberts' terrible managing. And the fact that he did not put him back out there for the ninth, and it almost cost him, again, they have too much talent. They will win in spite of DR.
I know Blake Snell was split fan-wise down here in San Diego, especially towards the end, but the stuff has always been there.
Always.
He's kind of the X factor for the Dodgers right now. Because think about it. Everybody else on that team has a ring. And I'm not saying they're not trying to get a second ring or a fourth ring or whatever it is. But they've all got the ring. He doesn't have one. And he's pitching like he doesn't have one and he wants one. Because he has been pitching out of his mind for like a month now.
He's lights out. He's going 6+, every start. ERA's coming down. He's unbelievable, dude.
I wish we had seen in his Cy Young season, which of course was 2023, the disappointing year for the San Diego Padres what he would have looked like in the playoffs.
Right.
Had they gotten there and given him an opportunity to pitch in October. Now, he pitched in October in 2022, and he did well. I mean, he didn't dominate like...
No.
Like he did last night. But the Cy Young season, when he had his really good year, he never even got the opportunity to pitch in the postseason that year because of all the other weird disappointments of Bob Melvin's last season and the close losses and everything that they were unable to get done.
Last time he pitched in a big playoff game, like a big playoff game, was in 2020 against the Dodgers. And he might have gotten that ring, that aforementioned ring, had he not gotten taken out of the game. And
I think what made me infuriated was all the times that we had to listen to that guy go, no, man, my changeup's in timeout. I don't throw my changeup. It's in timeout. The guy last year's changeup, heater, changeup, changeup, spotted changeup, heater, changeup.
I'm not mad. He won a Cy Young Award for the San Diego Padres.
I'm not mad. I'm bitter. Do you not get that? Yeah, I'm bitter.
But he gave you some pretty good pitching with the San Diego Padres.
I don't even
throw my
changeup anymore because it's in timeout. Great. Fantastic. I'm glad you took it out of timeout to go turn into Sandy
Koufax. That was 2022.
He took it out of timeout. He won the Cy Young.
That was the year they actually got to the playoffs. He wasn't having his best year. He had his best year the next year, and the Padres didn't capitalize on it and even get to the postseason to see what that would have looked like.
He was unreal.
He was so good last night.
He was unreal. And actually, I found myself going, all right, dude. Forget the uniform. Just watch this guy pitch. And I was like enjoying watching him pitch because he really was that locked in. I liked what they said on the broadcast too about the days that he's in, that starting pitchers get in. It's like this days and you see it and you remember that dumb movie For Love of the Game when Kevin Costner's like, clear the mechanism. And he's just in the, Blake Snell did not hear one single solitary sound except for the pop of the mitt last night. You could just see it in his face. They're not going to hit me. There's no way I don't let him go out and finish that game last night. He was that locked in. They couldn't do anything.
And they almost lost. We'll talk about it coming up. 7:35, our daily Padres smorgasbord segment. And of course, we will now take a closer look at the managerial candidates that are out there, that are already being discussed, that are probably lining up interviews with A.J. Preller as we speak to replace Mike Shildt. Not a conversation we were expecting to have this offseason, but now the number one priority of the Padres all of a sudden is finding a new manager to lead this team to where they hopefully want to go, and that's a World Series title. Who's the guy? Can you afford to hire someone without any experience? A lot of the names that I've seen on the list that we will discuss our first-time managers.
It doesn't give me a lot of hope.
And maybe that's the right way to go. I mean, I can't say that picking a guy like Ruben Niebla or A.J. Ellis inside the organization is the wrong decision, but it worries me.
Let me clarify, and we'll talk about it all day, I'm sure, if nothing but time.
All week.
When I say a first-time, I want to make the distinction between a first-time manager and I want to make the distinction between someone that's already in the organization, because I do think that there's a little bit of a difference. Yes.
All right. Compare Nick Hundley and A.J. Ellis. Are they different in your eyes? First-time managers, but one's in the org, one's in another team's org.
Yeah, slightly, but you know where I'm going with this. You know I'm leaning towards Ruben Niebla. Ruben Niebla, for me, is such a no-brainer, it's not even funny. And Ruben, I honestly, I don't look at him as a first-time manager, even though that's exactly what he would be, because the guy is with them every... A.J. Ellis is in the office. Ruben is in there every day. Ruben knows what the clubhouse smells like.
Sits right next to the manager.
He's on the plane. Ruben, I look at it and go, yes, technically he would be a first-time manager in the big leagues, but he's essentially just moving to the next office in the same clubhouse. He's just, I'm going to put my gear in the box. I'm going to move it over. This is my office now. That's at least my perception of it. When you bring in a Ryan Flaherty or somebody of that nature, that to me is what I don't want to do. Outside the org, brand new manager, and I know he was with the org for a while.
I don't know.
Do you guys not see a distinction there?
I
at do. All?
It's got to be the right person. It's so all encompassing because I was reading like the UT had here's just 11 candidates to watch, yeah. And you know, like Albert Pujols was one of them. But if he does anything, it's going to be with the Angels. Rocco Baldelli was on that list. Now he has managed, but he feels like, you know, a second time manager kind of still feels like first time manager.
It does, especially when he's coming in the day. All right, we're going to do things my way.
That doesn't feel right either.
On my list, I see a lot of potential first time managers, but they all are coming from inside the Padres organization,
sure,
for continuity. I can't see. The only one I have on the list that's outside would be Ryan Flaherty. I threw Nick Hundley on there, but yeah.
And it's tough because if you're going to be a manager, at some point you have to have your first managerial job.
Correct. Somebody's got to give
it
to you.
It's got to start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere.
But maybe Ryan Flaherty goes on to have a hell of a managerial career.
I don't think this is the place.
It rarely starts with a team that's trying to win the World Series right away.
Correct.
I mean, every team would love to do that.
Right.
But it usually starts with a team that fired their manager because they went 63-99.
Right. This is a different
scenario. It's a 3-year, here's 3 years, build it up. We'd like to see some improvements in year one, maybe challenge for the playoffs year two, and then you guys are ready to win in year three. This
so we
is
don't
not
want
that
first
job.
Time managers. We also said yesterday we don't necessarily want the Ozzie Guillen, Joe Maddon, like the names that you're familiar with because, well, they've been available for years and nobody's hired them.
So
what does that tell
nobody
you?
Nobody snatched any of those guys up, man. It's wild to me that Joe Maddon is like, you see him on MLB Network. He's sharp as
Buck
a cat.
Buck Showalter's name is going to be
out there. Joe Maddon sits there on MLB Network, and he's sharp as a tack, bro. And he's a tactician, and he has got that mind. But, and I we'll ask the question about all these guys. Do they walk into the room and command respect? I think some of them do. I think some of them wouldn't.
The question, though, is why? Why are the Padres looking for a manager after a 93 and a 90 win season and two playoff appearances? We will get to that coming up after a check of traffic here. What we've learned in the last 24 hours on 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We should start here with your own reporting and reaching out to the man in question, Mike Schilt. Yesterday, you texted with Mike, and what did he tell you, Woods?
Yeah, I did. I texted him yesterday, and I said, "Hey, Schilty, was shocked to see the news this morning. I wanted to wish you the best going forward. Thanks for always having fun with us. I'll never forget you saving our ass in spring training. It really is a moment that jumps off the page at me." And he said, "Thanks. Always grateful for the support and friendship. I just am worn out and was honest with myself. I didn't have it in me to lead this team to another 91 season and a World Series run. Let me know if you need anything." And I said, "Schilty, I manage a T-ball team and an adult ball team, and it literally keeps me up at night. I can't imagine the stress." And he said, "Man, it is real." And it was very kind. And, you know, I just wanted him to know, like, I think this is pretty evident and obvious. I didn't agree with a lot of the things that Schilty did as a manager. I didn't. But that's part of this job, and that's also part of his job, right? Knowing that things will be criticized and questioned and second-guessed. It comes with the territory. But as a man, I certainly don't want anything bad to happen to Mike Schilt. There's nothing on a personal level where I'm like, you know, good, whatever. Like, he was prickly, and I think now we know why he was prickly. The guy was white-knuckling through according to the latest piece from Dennis Lynn, August is when it started to really, really catch up to him, and he really started to hang on tight. And if you've ever been in that situation, if you've ever been in your life where everything is like a tornado around you, and you still try to get up, put your feet on the ground, go do your job every day. Man, and I think a lot of people feel this way. Life is really hard. It's really hard in the midst of a storm. And it sounded like that storm arrived around August. And it kind of breaks my heart to think about it. And I know I can't figure out exactly where he is. He's either here or he's back in North Carolina. I know he went back to North Carolina to take a week to talk to, and then he was going to talk to AJ.
The timeline that I'm getting from my own homework and then from reading Dennis's latest is that Schilt went to North Carolina right after the season.
Sure.
Pondered, thought about it, made his decision, flew back to San Diego, I don't know, call it Friday maybe.
Okay.
Was here for the weekend, told Padres ownership and everybody his decision on Saturday is what Dennis wrote. And then as late as yesterday, flew back to North Carolina.
We got a tweet this morning to the Ben and Woods page, and a guy said, because again, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, about how now everyone has pointed to AJ Preller is the scapegoat, Manny Machado is a scapegoat, Fernando Tatis Jr. is a scapegoat. And so we got a guy that wrote us yesterday, and he said, hey, look, I was literally at a restaurant in Coronado on Sunday, and I saw Schilte and Mario. I was having lunch Sunday at Blanco's in Coronado. I saw Manny and Schilt having lunch and chopping it up and laughing. Toward the end, the talk turned serious. That's maybe when Schilt told Manny, just guessing, but those saying it was because of Manny, 1,000% false. I also talked to someone yesterday, and I brought this up, and I said, you know, it's a bummer. It's a bummer when something like this happens. Everyone starts looking to point fingers. Toddy got some grief, you know, from the fan base yesterday, too. And this guy made a really good point to me.
I saw like 40% Preller, 40% Manny, 10% Fernando. Yeah.
Well, Manny and Toddy get lumped in together.
Yeah.
And so I said, he goes, man, think about this. Remember when Fernando was injured in El Paso and suspended and all that? Remember what Mike Schilt's job was at that point? He was a player development liaison, consultant, whatever. That dude would get on a plane all the time, fly back, spent an inordinate amount of time with Fernando Tatis Jr. That was his guy. He would go in, check in on him, hang out with him, work with him, whatever he needed to do. I promise you guys, as much as you want to look at it and blame two of our superstars for Mike Schilt retiring, it doesn't seem to be the case. I said it yesterday. Tony said it on the show yesterday. I get it. We're paid shills, whatever. Fine. All I can tell you is what I know. What I know is that in 2022 and 2023, my DMs were full of, I saw this. I heard this. These are the whispers, blah, blah, blah. And it would make my head spin. And it would make me so sad because I'm like, we are so talented. Find a way to put this team together and go out and win. Nobody ever did until Mike Schilt did. All of that crap stopped. I never got a word. I got one DM, and it was about something innocuous, like Fernando rode the media bus instead of the team bus one time. And it was like, okay. Maybe he was running a little bit late. Maybe he wanted to talk to one of the coaches. Maybe he wanted to talk to Jesse Agler. I have no idea. But it wasn't enough, like it was in 2022 and 23, that you felt a fracture in the clubhouse. That clubhouse was a wreck. We saw it. I would go in there and go, oh, my God. It was uncomfortable. I was in there a few times last year and the year before. Completely different. I'm just telling you guys what I've seen and what I've heard and what I know. And so I think, you know, before we go pointing fingers, there is a real possibility that this guy said, I'm so frazzled. I mean, he said it in the article. His hair is falling out.
The details from Dennis Lynn's article, heartbreaking. He said he experienced, among other things, poor sleep, chest pains, hair loss, and in an age of pervasive sports gambling, even death threats, from strangers, which we've seen directed to players on social media much too often. And the quote from Mike Schilt here is, I can tell you I was sick a lot. I just wasn't feeling good. I was run down. I wasn't sleeping. And it's nobody's fault. It's just day-to-day stress. But, you know, just unhealthy man. Sometimes you got to take care of you, you know. I do understand that people will continue to question the narrative from Mike Schilt and from the San Diego Padres, as we all did when we heard it yesterday. And we were skeptical, like, okay, what's really going on behind the scenes? It's the question I got most often yesterday, Woods. All right, that we know what they're saying, but what's really going on? And I said yesterday, well, we'll find out more details. Is Mike Schilt really walking away from a seven-figure salary with 2 years left on his deal, a dream job that we know he has pursued since he was a teenager,
17 years old,
working in every job as a clubhouse attendant on his way up? A path that is not really available to anyone. You don't not play at least minor league baseball and become a manager in the big leagues. He did it. He was the one in 100 million that was able to come all the way up and become a major league manager. You don't walk away from that gig, do you? But according to Dennis Lynn in The Athletic, in his conversation with Mike Schilt, Mike admitted to him he is not being paid a single dollar. He is walking away from his entire contract because this is his decision to walk away for his health. The Padres did not push him out the door. They did not ask him to leave. This was entirely his decision, and he is not getting compensated in any way. There was no buyout at all. He is walking away from his deal and doesn't really expect to get back into the manager's chair anytime soon.
Yeah, and I you know, it's here's in the chat. Mike Schilt let the players do whatever they wanted and didn't want to hurt feelings. That's why the clubhouse was quiet. Bob Melvin actually put on his pants and didn't let that slide. That's patently false. Bob Melvin, by his own admission, was checked out in 2023. Didn't want to be here, gazing wistfully across the field at the San Francisco Giants dugout, thinking, man, that's where I should be. Bob Melvin, Mike Schilt was much more hands-on. Much more hands-on with these players. Now, did he chew them out in the public? No. I tried to get him to do it a million times. He wouldn't do it. Is that a detriment to him? Maybe. But, you know, I don't look at this as anything other than, you know, he basically said, like, this is something that I had to do, and I did it. And again, the fact that he left that money on the table, on the record, he told Dennis, I didn't take a dime. That means it's pretty serious.
Were fans watching a different game than I was watching? I know. The Padres were a well-put-together team.
Right.
Yeah, they stopped hitting.
Yeah.
But it's not like they played sloppy baseball,
right.
Mental mistakes. We'll continue this conversation. Hour number two of Ben and Woods next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.